Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
The Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
You're tuned into 97.7 WVFF. This is The Toolbox. I'm your host, Joe Mangi. Here with my co-host, as always, The Raven. And believe it or not, we're talking about like weird cars today. per every episode, just about. But before we get into that, I do have some automotive news. New car alert. The Slate electric truck / SUV has been announced. It kind of looks like a Bronco. It looks like a cheap Bronco.
Bronco.
Yeah, but don't fret. This should be different. It's super basic.
What?
It's super basic.
Oh, so like a Tesla basic?
Even more basic. Supposedly it's going to have roll-up windows. So we have to redo the episode about Jeep being the last one with roll-up windows.
Yeah.
So super basic transportation. Apparently it doesn't even come with paint. It's just the plastic.
Why don't they just go back to steam-powered at this point?
I think steam-powered would be more expensive. Mm-hmm. But supposedly the starting price is $20,000, which I doubt that.
Oh, yeah.
After you add in
the windows, the brakes, the gas pedal, everything's an added option.
Speaking of electric vehicles, Volkswagen has started instructing its dealers to vinyl wrap solid color Volkswagen ID buzzes because they're not selling. No one wants an ID buzz that's not two-toned.
What?
Yeah. It's like they tried making it look like an old Volkswagen bus, but it doesn't look like an old Volkswagen bus, but they painted them like an old Volkswagen bus.
Oh, the hippie buses.
Yeah. But they made a bunch. I guess a lot of the early productions are one color, and no one wants a gray Volkswagen bus.
Everybody liked the hippie buses because they were bright and colorful.
Yes.
That was the whole point.
They made a bunch that are not colorful, and they're not selling, believe it or not.
Huh.
But we're not talking about Volkswagen buses.
I mean,
we're talking about boats, car boats,
amphibious cars,
amphibies. You want to start off, or you want me to start off?
Well, I'm more of the history of the cars.
I am not the history of the cars.
I figured. Okay, so do you want me to start?
How are we doing this?
We probably should have figured that out beforehand.
We probably should have. Oh!
I mean, I started it last time. You can start this time.
I'll start this time, and if you have any questions, concerns, or complaints, send us an email at thetoolboxshow@yahoo.com.
We just gotta do our jobs, right?
Yeah, tell us everything. Tell us how you're doing. So, amphibious cars. I didn't pick any civilian ones, by the way.
I picked civilian ones.
I picked, first one, the Volkswagen Schwimm wagon.
Schwimm.
It's spelled SCHWIMMWAGEN. I'm going to call it the Schwimm wagon.
Schwimm wagon.
The Volkswagen Schwimm wagon type 166 is an amphibious version of a Volkswagen Beetle. Designed and produced during World War II for Germany. So not the good guys. Powered by a 1.1 liter air-cooled flat four. You think it's water-cooled when it goes in the water? With a whopping 25 horsepower, four-speed transmission. On land, go 50 miles per hour.
Whoa.
Which this was like in the 40s, so that's like
they
faster than a horse.
Your lungs would collapse if you went any faster.
In water, 6.2 miles per hour.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Around there.
So the Schwimmwagen featured a folding roof, a screw propeller for oh my gosh, I can't talk, for propulsion in water. It made it move in the water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Schwimmwagen's design allowed it to traverse various terrain and waterways, making it versatile because you could go on land and on water. And, it kind of looks like a Volkswagen thing parked on a boat. That's all I had for that. If you play any of the Gran Turismo games, it's on there for some reason. Don't know why. Ah, oh, I wonder if you could drive it. You think if you drove it into water, it would drive on water in the game?
Only one way to find out.
Could have to plug in the PS3 when I get home.
Oh, God. If that thing even powers on anymore.
Yeah, right. Hey, if anyone has a PS3, write us. We also got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So you could send us videos of you driving swim wagons on Gran Turismo. That's all I have. What do you got?
Oh, we're going back and forth?
Oh, we're not going back and forth? No. Okay, we're not going back
Beat
and forth.
Your whole thing.
You heard it here first.
I swear. How are we going? How? What?
I don't know.
That's not even how mine's lined up for her.
We don't communicate.
No.
We're
2 feet apart.
We are 2 feet apart when we do this, and we are so focused on getting you guys some good information. So, my next vehicle is the DUKW, also known as the Duck. Is a six-wheel drive amphibious truck used by the U.S. military during World War II. It was designed for transporting goods and personnel. Manufactured from 1942 to 1945, the Duck was based on the GMC Deuce and a Half, the military truck. Deuce and a Half means it can carry 2.5 tons. It was amphibious. Duh. It kept six-wheel drive for improved traction, but featured a boat-like body with a propeller on the back. The DUKW played a significant role in various military operations, including logistics and supply chain management. Its versatility and ability to traverse challenging terrain made it a valuable asset. Believe it or not, you can still see these things driving around in major cities. They're called duck tours. They do them in Boston and stuff. Sometimes they catch on fire with people on them.
Ooh.
But I don't think anyone...
they're in water.
That's when they don't catch on fire. They save that for the traffic. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. There's like... yeah, you could just look up duck tours and they're still using them. 1940s military equipment for
Man,
tours.
I kinda I'd be so disappointed if you said we were going on a duck tour and you took me to some cars. And I'm
that sounds way better.
Ducks.
That sounds way better. Some of them, sometimes they paint them like a duck. They're like yellow.
That's not, no. That's a baby duck.
It's still a duck.
Ducks are white.
Ducks are yellow.
Ducks, baby ducks are yellow. Grown ducks are white.
Some ducks aren't white. Some ducks are yellow. All the GMC ducks were olive drab green.
Ew.
They were military. I think all these vehicles were green.
No.
Except the German one. The German one was gray.
I don't like it. Gray's better than that dingy green color.
I once painted a Buick Park Avenue in olive drab.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah. And then we self-tapped a trailer fender to the bumper. It was like a perfect fit. It was a tandem.
Because why not?
Yeah, and then we got it stuck in the mud. And then we cut part of the fender off. It was good times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, my last vehicle for amphibious. It's another one with a fantastic name. The Lark LX. Which Lark stands for Lighter Amphibious Resupply Cargo. And then the LX is large experimental. Or a barge with wheels is pretty much what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is the largest variant of the Lark series of vehicles. It's kind of weird that they called it experimental because it was in service from 1952 until 2001. So I think that's a little bit not experimental. But the Lark LX is massive with a length of 62 feet, a width of 26 feet, a height of 19 feet, And the payload capacity varied between 60 to 100 tons. This massive vehicle was powered by 4 diesel engines with a combined power output of 1,000 horsepower, give or take. But yeah, so like each wheel had its own engine. The max speed on land, 16 miles an hour. And about half of that on water. The Lark LX was designed for heavy lift operations and logistics support in amphibious environments. Its large size and payload capacity made it suitable for transporting heavy equipment and supplies. And there is one at a museum in Pennsylvania that I cannot remember the name of. What is the name of it? It's not the Peterson. It's the other one. If anyone's seen that Lark, let us know where it is. Because I know it's out there. I seen it. Well, I didn't see it in person. I seen it on the internet.
It's out there.
It's out there.
He's looking at me. He's menacingly.
That's all I had for amphibious stuff.
Okay. I got a bunch of stuff. So mine starts with the history of amphibious cars, and it actually dates back to the early 20th century, with several inventors and manufacturers experimenting with the vehicles to see what's going to work on land and water. People, as long as there have been cars, there have been people attempting to put these cars on water. In 1897, French engineer Jean-Joseph Antier-Lenoir designed and built a steam-powered car that could float, making one of the earliest attempts at creating an amphibious vehicle. Again, this was in 1897. Like, crazy. By 1905, the French inventor Gustave Turbot created a modified three-wheel trike that could drive on land and float in water, showcasing the potential for an amphibious technology. Again, 1905.
And they already had floating stuff?
Yes, they were already putting motors on things and sticking them in the water. They're like...
Here's a boat.
Okay, yeah. How can we make a boat, but we want to make it more difficult? A little tidbit on the Volkswagen swim wagon, which was designed during World War II, so just after the French started making their amphibious cars. They built a military amphibious vehicle that preceded the development of commercial amphibious cars like the Amphi car. The swim wagon design influenced later amphibious vehicles, demonstrating the importance of waterproofing and propulsion systems. So all the cars basically developed after the Volkswagen swim wagon was pretty much took an idea here or there from the car.
It's pretty bulletproof.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
actually, I don't think it was actually bulletproof.
Well, no, it was waterproof, which is what was more important.
Yeah.
Between 1961 and 1968, the Amphi car 770, designed by Hans Trippel, that sounds German, he was the first to mass produce an amphibious car with the approximate 3,878 units manufactured. So this was the first mass-produced car that could go from land to water.
They're super cool.
Super cool. They featured a 1.1-liter four-cylinder engine that could reach speeds up to 70 miles an hour on land and 7 miles an hour in water. Its unique design included a watertight hull, retractable wheels, and that also allowed it to transition smoothly between land and water.
And they look so cool.
And again, this is also still in 1968. We haven't even gotten close. Like, we're still going. The British were the next ones to participate in such a fun endeavor. In 1996, British automaker Lotus conducted an engineering viability study for an amphibious car, exploring new possibilities for amphibious technology. He saw what other people were doing as like, I can do that better.
Wait.
And he created the Gibbs Aquad?
Aquada.
Aquada. The Gibbs Aquada, which was, again, at the top of the line at the time.
The Aquada.
I mean, of course, the British are going to see what the French are doing and say, I can do it better. the Gibbs Aquada was originally listed price for roughly $250,000. And they made about 4,000 of them. You could get it in red, yellow, or black. Those are the only colors. The Gibbs was the world's very first high-speed amphibious car, capable of going over 100 miles an hour on land and over 30 on water. Huh. Other cars hadn't gotten anywhere close to that fast in
water. Yeah, that's, like, fast.
Yes, this thing was practically a jet ski.
You're driving like SpongeBob going over 100 in the boat car.
Exactly. This car just happened to be a bit more different from the amphibious cars. Not only did they took stuff from the Amphi car, which was the retractable wheels, but they also took the turbo jets from the French.
It's like a NB Miata.
Yeah.
On a boat.
Yeah, like.
What the heck?
Fancy, fancy.
What the heck?
And it was also the first Amphi car that had towing capabilities.
What?
Yeah, you can tow with it. You could pull, you could, yeah.
You could tow your own trailer. Oh, you could tow people.
Yeah, you could tow people.
Okay,
okay.
I thought you were talking about trailers.
No, it was rated for pulling a jet ski in the water.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I was like, that's too many things for a Miata to be doing.
Next was a new and improved Amphi car, which were originally priced for only $2,800. But today, that's going to cost you about $123,200. I didn't say any of that right. I can't math.
Those were all numbers.
Those were all numbers. They're big numbers. This car was offered in white and yellow. So many beautiful options. The Amphi car was the first originally intended vehicle for North American consumers. They first introduced in New York Motor in the New York Motor Show in 1961.
I think
that should be something that...
It's so rad.
Didn't May use that car when they did their Aqua thing?
No.
Because that one looks like the yellow one May used.
No. He used a Triumph Herald.
Okay.
And then he hit the mast on something and it sunk.
Yeah, it was really funny. This was supposed to be the first mass-produced Aqua car in America. They originally built 3,878 of these cars before ceasing productions in 1968. So they only built the cars for 7 years. The vehicle's power came from a rear-mounted 1.1-liter four-cylinder gas engine. The power was either sent to the rear wheels on land or to the twin propellers mounted beneath the rear bumper when floating in the water.
It's pretty rad. It has, like, two blenders directly underneath the bumper.
And what's really funny about this car is that a U.S. president had one, Lyndon B. Johnson, who was allegedly got a huge kick out of frightening onlookers whenever he drove the car, he'd drive it into the lake and say the brakes went out. Like, Matt, you see the president of the United States.
No brakes.
Yeah, going off of the road towards water, yelling out of his window, no brakes. Like, I bet his Secret Service were tired
of
him.
That's fantastic.
That's you as a president. And my last car. My last car is the hobby car, which was originally priced at $56,000. Now it's around $91,000. Approximately only 50 of these cars were made, and you could get this car in blue or yellow. It was first introduced in 1992 at the Paris Motor Show.
Oh, God.
Fancy. It's a minivan with no top.
Picture the ugliest minivan you've ever seen. And it's worse.
No, but what's great...
It's so much worse.
What's great is you could choose to add a hard or a soft top to it.
Why would you choose it at all? That's terrible.
Because it was only $56,000 compared to the other cars that were over $100,000.
I don't like it. It looks like...
And the hobby car also had a 1.9-liter four-cylinder engine,
which puttered it around.
You got me all tongue-tied. Which powered both the four-wheel drive system, but also had two hydrojets underwater.
Oh, it's jet power.
Now, wasn't the hydrojets the thing Clarkson used on his boat?
I don't
know. Those crazy whirl things?
What?
That, like, when the boat's going across the water and it's got the...
Oh, hydrofoils.
That's what I was thinking of. Okay. When it said hydrojets, that's what I thought.
No. It's like a, I guess it's so like jet ski engines?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know anything about boats or jets.
But the hobby car looks like something your grandparents would retire in.
It's like a Sea-Doo had a baby with a minivan from the early 2000s.
Only 52 of the hobby cars were ever built in the few short years of its unique production. You can only find a few of these cars on display at automotive museums now. Today, the amphibious car is a prized possession for collectors, with only around 600 altogether of all of these cars still existing in the United States. So they made a couple thousand of these cars, but you could probably only find a couple hundred.
If you want to see a hobby car or a Lark LX, they're at the Lane Motor Museum. And I really want to go there. They have a bunch of really weird stuff.
I think what I want our next radio thing to be about is either the Paris Motor Show or the New York Motor Show.
Ah. Sure.
Because those... Do they even still do the New York Motor Show still?
Do they? I don't know.
We'll have to Google that.
I'm trying to Google
that. Because I know back in the 80s, that was like a super cool thing that like... They do.
I think Geneva's the biggest one. The Geneva Motor Show?
Okay, so it's not like... Or is that the convention? It's not like Geneva Convention.
The Geneva Motor Show Convention?
I swear to God, it's not the same thing. But you know what I'm talking about, where they used to do like the science, the crazy science of the future, and they would bring out the cars.
What is it?
And they had it in New York.
What is it called? World's Fair.
The World's
Fair.
They
need to bring that back.
I tell you what. You know what? I don't sound that bad.
I'm sorry. I'm looking up the Lane Motor Museum right now.
You look, I don't pop you.
No, don't do that. It would be recorded.
They can't see, so it's no proof.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
Why does it not tell me where this place is? I'm trying to look up the Lane Motor Museum for y'all. Where's it at?
It's right there.
It's somewhere.
It's right there.
Yeah, that's another thing. What is up with places and events that they will post like a picture and you're like, that looks awesome. And it doesn't say where it is. And you spend 10 minutes and it's like, oh, it's across the country. I'm not going to that. It's in Nashville, Tennessee.
You click the contact us page and it'll normally have their address.
The Lane Motor Museum is in Nashville, Tennessee. How far away is Nashville?
No, beyond
her. Directions.
You doing it from here?
Yeah. Oh my God, that's 7 hours away. Never mind. If anyone's listening from the Lane Motor Museum and you want to fly us out,
sorry to God.
Reach us at thetoolboxshow@yahoo.com or on Facebook under the same name. Man, that's
or
a bummer. It's so
been
far
to.
Away.
That museum, feel free to send him some pictures because he'll get a kick out of that.
Dennis's kid went there.
Yeah, but they went there for Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift was performing at the Lane Motor Museum?
Oh, they went to the museum. I thought you were just saying they went to Tennessee.
No, they went to the museum. I see.
Oh, okay.
Man, it's in like the furthest part away of Tennessee. If anyone...
I bet Dollywood's closer.
Dollywood is closer. Yeah, so to get there, it has us going... Through Atlanta.
I bet
you'd
find a quicker route. I bet it'd be easier to go up through.
You would think.
And then across.
Man.
But I don't know how to get out of a bucket, so don't listen to me.
I'm disappointed. I thought the Lane Motor Museum was like 4 hours away. It's 7 hours away.
But it is really, really, really cool.
Look
if you ever get an opportunity to go to an old, or not even an old cars museum, just a cars museum in general, just to go and look at the history and, you know.
Like the Farming and Heritage Museum in
Ellery.
That
does not count.
Ellery.
It doesn't Ellery? Count because it's one room.
I don't know. We haven't been. I passed it the other day, and I really want to go.
Nah.
If anyone from the Ellery Museum is listening, we will write a review. We will do an episode. If you guys get any products to send in or anything you want us to review.
Oh, yeah, free sample.
Hit us up. Give us a free sample, and we'll give you an unbiased.
We'll give you a free opinion.
We'll give you a free opinion. If you give us a free thing, you'll get a free opinion.
About
something. On the radio.
On that.
So,
thing.
Hey, let's say it's your rival's product. Buy it. Send it to us.
Tell us that.
And
it's
if it's
their
not
product.
Good, they'll lose customers.
Or tell us that it's their product.
And then they'll sue us for defamation.
That's
win-win.
How that works.
Well, anywho, I think that's all we got. See, the Lane. Oh, we should do an episode on the Lane Motor Museum.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of like weird cars. Look at that. That thing's like they have like a wood thing, and a.
I thought when they used to make cars out of wood.
Right. They should make more stuff out of wood.
There's too many dummies.
Less plastic.
Or that just help natural selection.
Death by splinters. Oh, actually, that's probably why I quit making cars out of wood.
You get into an accident, you get staked in the heart. Yeah.
That's probably why. Oh, man. Well, that was Amphibious Cars. Thank you for listening to The Toolbox on 97.7 WVFF. If you got an amphibious car that you want us to drive or take me on a ride, I'll probably talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. Keep your shoes dry.
Keep it cranking.
Y'all have a good day.
We thank you for staying tuned to The Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.